From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block. The story of the small, downtrodden horse with a funny egg-beater gait who managed to mesmerize an entire nation gallops onto the screen this week. Seabiscuit, the movie adapted from the best-selling book by Laura Hillenbrand. The film captures how Seabiscuit's unlikely triumphs on the racetrack helped revive American spirits in the latter half of the Depression.
You all are here today because this is a horse who won't give up, even when life beats him by a nose. But heck, everybody loses a couple. And you either pack up and you go home or you keep fighting. Isn't that right? That's right. Now, do you want to see a match race?
Yeah!
You do?
The screenwriter and director of Seabiscuit is Gary Ross, whose previous work includes the movies Big, Dave, and Pleasantville. Ross says Americans saw in Seabiscuit a metaphor for their own struggles.
40,000 people would show up in the infield to root for the horse who didn't have the money to bet on him. And it was almost a form of self-expression to say, you know, we're not done either. We reject the definition of ourselves that we're through or that we've lost. So there's something very emblematic about the American spirit that sort of transcends flag waving and knee-jerk patriotism. There's something intrinsically American about all that that's really interesting and I think makes him this legend.
Hmm. You also create a character, TikTok McLaughlin, who is a hyperkinetic radio announcer, really a one-man band in announcing horse races.
As long as we're talking long shots, I got a real doozy for you, folks. Today we got a horse that's going off at 70-1, and that's a short price, my friends. This horse couldn't win a church raffle, let alone a $2,000 allowance. Yeah, talk about a jump in class. This is the skunk at the garden party. Yes, he's the surprise in the punch bowl. As a matter of fact, I'll lay even money that this nag Seabiscuit couldn't even finish 6 furlongs. This is TikTok McLaughlin live at Clocker's Corner.
That's William H. Macy as TikTok McLaughlin. He just took that part and went
flew,
to town.
Didn't he? Yeah. You know, it's fun to hear that on the radio as it was intended. I mean, I've only seen it. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun, you know. A lot of people assume that it's kind of, you know, Walter Winchell on speed, you know, that I kind of took their radio commentary of the day and amped it up a little bit. But there was also a tradition of guys like Spike Jones who used sound effects on the radio. And I remember a famous recording. I had a 78 as a kid of Spike Jones and all the sound effects that he would make during the horse race. So I think there was a little bit of Spike Jones in there, a little bit of Walter Winchell, a lot of William H. Macy. And when I started writing the part, I literally wrote him into the script and just kind of had a ball. It was a really, really fun part to write.
One of the many climactic points of this movie is the match race in 1938. This is the Triple Crown winner, War Admiral, against Seabiscuit. And you choose, at the beginning of the race, to show this as a radio event. You have still photographs of people listening to the radio.
Seeing War Admiral pressing on him in that bind. They flag on the clubhouse turn. Who will be into it first? It's Seabiscuit hitting the damn first and driving for the backstretch.
This was listened to by 40 million Americans on a per capita basis. That would be like 100 million people watching the Super Bowl. That's never happened. This was unparalleled. Roosevelt was late to a press conference because he wanted to hear the call. So we can't even imagine how the country stopped to hear this confrontation between these two animals. And just for 5 or 10 seconds, I wanted you to feel what everyone in America felt when they sat on the edge of their seats and listened to the race.
Hmm. Let's talk about the horses in the movie. I imagine there's some point when you're thinking about how you're going to do this movie that you go to the studio or your executive producers and you say, we need to buy 50 horses.
Right. Yeah, we did. It was, at times, it was like running a circus. I mean, you know, we owned 50 race horses. We had 40 people to take care of them. We had our own stables. It was massive, the amount of people working on the movie.
And because Seabiscuit is such a complicated horse, there were many Seabiscuits, actually.
Yes, there were. There were 10 Seabiscuits. You know, the horse's personality was so remarkable, as people know from the book. There was the fiery Seabiscuit that tore up a stall, and there was the more docile Seabiscuit that slept with the dog, and Pumpkin, his lifelong companion, and a variety of other animals. So, you know, there's a lot of personality to the horse, and it took a variety of different horses to capture that.
I wonder if you could just talk a bit about the variables that were involved and the complexities of trying to film all of these races throughout this movie.
Well, it was very, very challenging, obviously. My job is to get the camera in the middle of the pack and let you feel the pounding hooves, let you understand the athleticism, let you feel the jockeys slamming and bumping into one another. Well, in order to do that, in a nutshell, it basically required rehearsal over 4 months. I had a race meeting every day with me, Chris McCarron, a Hall of Fame jockey who helped me design the races, Rusty Hendrickson, our wrangler, my DP, my first AD. And we would talk everyone through every shot in every single race and what we planned to do. We'll start at the 7-furlong pole. By the 6.5, this horse passes this horse, and the camera's here. By the 6-furlong pole, this horse will begin to pull away, and the camera will go with it. By the 5.5, we'll call cut. Once we had that, I developed like a playbook, like a football playbook almost. And we would walk through it on foot, and so that everybody would understand their physical relationship to one another, because it would have been easy for somebody to get killed doing this. It's dangerous enough without a crane arm and a camera next to your head while you're on horseback.
But you also have these variables of horses. I mean, you wanted the accuracy of the race results. In other words, if Seabiscuit won a race in real life by 4 lengths, he had to win the race by 4 lengths in your movie, which is not necessarily easily done.
No, that's true. And in fact, at the match race, for take after take, Seabiscuit kept losing to War Admiral, which really certainly wouldn't have helped the movie. So sometimes you just have to improvise a little bit while you're shooting.
When you're directing a movie like this, which has these incredible technical challenges, gear and long camera arms and all of these concerns, how do you keep track of the story that's the heart of the movie? How do you balance those two things?
Well, that's always the challenge. You know, you're never as clear as when you first have the inspiration or the moment that you feel initially connected to it, and then that breaks down into pieces, and that breaks down into pieces. When you write the script, you feel a visceral connection to the story. But then as you begin to direct it, you have to take that initial feeling and break it down into all these little pieces that become technical challenges. And the trick of directing, much more than how do you shoot this stuff or any of the things that you have to execute technically, is how do you keep that feeling alive?
And how do you do that?
Well, there's times when I say, you know what, I need a second, and I ask for a copy of the script, and I go away, and I read what I wrote as if somebody else wrote it. You have to always be able to kind of go back to that touch point, and I've done this enough that I realize I know that there will become a point when it will get too technical, so I made sure that I was kind of prepared for that, and, you know, you want to take a map with you into the woods, you know.
Gary Ross, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Gary Ross is director and screenwriter of Seabiscuit. It opens in theaters on Friday.